Today's audiocast for Friday, April 7th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Check avweb.com for the latest breaking stories in aviation news and continuing developments from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. This week, AvWeb reporter Russ Niles brings us an in-depth interview with FAA Administrator Marion Blakey.
Hello and thank you for joining us. And a special thank you to FAA Administrator Marion Blakey for taking the time to update us on her plans for the agency as it goes through what many consider a pivotal period in its evolution. Good day to you, Madam Administrator.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm very well. And you're visiting Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida today. What's on the agenda?
I'm very excited about being down in Lakeland because for all the time I've had to spend at Oshkosh, this will be my first visit to Sun and Fun. So needless to say, I'm excited about both seeing the group that gathers there, getting a chance to toss it back and forth with general aviation pilots. They often have good ideas and recommendations because the most exciting thing is really getting to look at the aircraft, getting to talk with folks about the flying experience they're having, and, you know, see how the FAA may be serving the needs of this very important part of our aviation community, our stakeholders in general aviation.
Well, I think general aviation pilots appreciate the interest you show in this sector with visits like this. Perhaps you can give us an update on the initiatives being considered by the agency to modernize and restructure as we head towards the coming legislative session.
Well, you know, for lots of pilots who are still out there flying VFR and the Wild Blue Yonder, it's probably one of those things that they don't think about day in and day out. But the congestion that we're having, the increase in traffic, the dynamic that we're seeing in aviation says that the current system that we have for air traffic control, and really the way the aviation system overall works, is going to have to be transformed. The system, unfortunately, is not going to handle the kind of traffic we have coming at us of more and more regional aircraft, more and more very light jets that are going to begin coming into the system this year. And as we look at it, we're going to have to go to a much more automated system that's much more satellite-based. All of this involves this change-out to the next-generation system, making it work for everyone. And that includes, of course, very importantly, the general aviation pilot, those who are flying for business, those who are flying for pleasure. But it does mean it's a more automated satellite-based system that's going to, as we move forward, have significant investments required on the part of the Aviation Trust Fund and the user community through that. And then, of course, there'll be equipage issues also as we move further down the line for everyone to be able to take advantage of new technologies that are going to be up there that really will provide much greater margins of safety, more capacity, more ability to put a lot of aircraft up there. So that's a lot of what I'm spending my time on.
Well, it sounds like we're talking about ADS-B here.
ADS-B is one of the core technologies, if you will. It's really at the heart of this. And I can tell you that I have been delighted by how well ADS-B has served the general aviation community and the really community as a whole in Alaska. I know almost all of those who are checking us out today probably have heard of the Capstone program up there. But ADS-B, Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, is making it possible for everyone in certain sections of Alaska to have real common situational awareness, to be able to see on the screen right there in the cockpit the other aircraft around them, and to upload weather information and other kinds of very critical information. So as pilots, they have a great deal more control over their own surroundings and their safety. And we've seen a significant shift in terms of accident rates, 40% drop, in fact, for Capstone-equipped aircraft in terms of the fatal accident rate. So this is a phenomenon that is a technology we believe is going to serve well as we move into use on a broader national basis, and that's what we are moving toward.
The ADS-B comes at a fairly significant cost per airplane. How will you address that issue?
I wish I had all the answers right now, Russ, because of course ADS-B is something that's going to have to work well for the airlines, the carrier community, as well as for the business aviation community, and ultimately the recreational pilot. It will phase in over a number of years. This is not something that we turn a switch on. But we're trying to lay the plans here with a lot of input from the stakeholder community.
What is general aviation in the minds of the FAA?
Well, you know, I think general aviation is one of those broad generic terms that we have used for many years to cover what I think most of us think of as the recreational pilot. The pilot who's out there flying VFR, both for the most part, small aircraft, piston, and some that are moving, of course, into the more sophisticated jets. But the fact is that you're still talking about folks who are often not even really engaged a great deal in the air traffic control system. On the other hand, there is a portion of the business aviation community flying right up there with the heavy iron, who are certainly a part of what we would consider to be significant users of the system.
What about user fees, and will the average recreational personal use pilot be getting a bill from the FAA?
You know, Russ, I'll tell you, one of the things that I will be very pleased about is when the administration feels the proposal that we have for the Aviation Trust Fund. You're a little bit ahead of me on questions like that, because this is something where we have spent a lot of time listening to the stakeholder community, formulating, therefore, the outline of a proposal. And right now it's being considered in a process that involves the Office of Management and Budget and a number of other federal agencies who can be affected by the way we put together our plans for financing the aviation system. We're just a little bit ahead of the game. But what I can tell you is this. It's been fascinating to see how the stakeholder community has said certain things are very important to those of us who are using the system in the following ways. We've heard from the airline community, we've heard from the business aircraft community, aviation community, and of course we've heard from the AOPA about how the much more the recreational pilot sees it. I think it's been very clear that the recreational community feels that the current system of paying through a fuel tax is the most efficient from their standpoint. Things that are more administratively burdensome from their standpoint are difficult as they see it, as opposed to the simplicity of a fuel tax. So that's been the position that we've heard from their vantage point, whereas the airlines have come forward and said, look, we see a system where the costs of usage of the system are very directly tied on a fee-based system to the revenue that comes in is important. The key thing from the FAA's standpoint is not so much the exact mechanism that's being used, but we do feel that this is the time to move to a much more cost-based system. The way we are collecting fees right now, and taxes now, such as the ticket tax, doesn't have any relationship to the cost of providing the service. There are more and more small aircraft up there, and so you have a heavy workload for the FAA, but while the costs have gone up, the revenue coming in has not risen in accord with that workload.
When do you think we're going to finally get a look at all of this?
Well, I think this spring. We've been working very hard, you know, getting well in advance of when the taxes and fees expire next September 30th. And we want to put our proposal out for the Congress to consider and the stakeholder community this spring. So there'll be plenty of time to analyze it. I'm sure that there will be other good ideas that will come to the forefront.
Last week, Raytheon and Cessna both claimed that delays in the certification process were threatening their competitive edge. Others have complained that a shortage of FAA inspectors is causing major problems for companies that manufacture and install new technology for existing aircraft. Are there any immediate steps being taken to address those concerns?
Well, of course, at the heart of those concerns is the issue of the FAA's budget and the fact that we cannot field as many inspectors for both overseeing the operational safety of the system for all of those who are up there flying in the NAS right now, as well as certifying new products. And as you can appreciate, when it comes to a trade-off between maintaining the current operational safety and bringing new products into the system, we have to lean toward the operational safety requirements.
We've passed the halfway point in your term. Do you think you're going to achieve all the goals that you set out initially?
You know, I don't know whether anyone in a job like this will be able to say when they get to the halfway point that they can see the end state and all of the goals will be achieved. I can tell you, though, that I'm working as hard as I know how to put the blueprint in place for the next generation system so that we're well along that path with a lot of help from industry, our stakeholder community, and other federal agencies that are involved. To do that, you've, of course, got to be able to finance that system, and that's very critical itself, and we've been talking about the plans for generating a new financing system for the Aviation Trust Fund. And, of course, to do that well, you've got to run the FAA like a business. At the heart of what gets me up in the morning and what I hope when I walk out the door on the last day I'll be able to say is that we have not only maintained the safest period in aviation history, but we've enhanced it. That's what's at the core of this. And so if I can say one thing when I leave, that will be it.
That was AvWeb.com's Russ Niles presenting an in-depth interview with FAA Administrator Marion Blakey. See AvWeb online at www.avweb.com for more breaking news and all the latest from Lakeland. If you would like to drop us an email, find us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Monday, April 10th. This is Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.